You think you are hearing my voice. But unless you know how to use your gramophone properly, what you are hearing may be something grotesquely unlike any sound that has ever come from my lips.
Can you identify that voice? If you can, you may win a jackpot of wonderful prizes in radio's new, exciting, fun game, Says Who? Just heard a famous voice out of the past. And here to help us play Says Who is the famous voice of the present, John Cameron Thwaites.
Thank you very much indeed. And ladies and gentlemen, a good evening to you. And welcome to Says Who. It's a game of sound reasoning where we have new fun with old sounds. In just a moment, we're going to be listening to a recorded voice. And then our panel of experts right here will fire questions in an effort to identify that voice. On the firing line tonight is one of the top sharpshooters of the sports writing fraternity, Jimmy Cannon.
Good evening.
Next, talented lady from television and the film screen who calls everybody a good bunny. And I think she's the only performer to get fan mail from Peter Rabbit. Wendy Berry. Comes now from way down Texas way, a radio and television humorist, a writer, a lecturer. Well, you know, I could mention many more of his talents, but it would only embarrass him.
Go ahead and embarrass me, John.
I should have known better to say that about anyone from Texas. John Henry Falk.
Indeed.
Now, panel, you have just 3 minutes to track down our first mystery voice. For each no answer to get to the rules of the game, the listener sending in the suggestion receives $5. If you sound sleuths fail to come up with the correct identification, an extra $25 is added to that listener's prize money. Now, before we hear our first voice, our announcer, Hal Sims, will tell the home listeners who this well-known gentleman is.
Our panelists cannot hear me. The mystery voice you are about to hear is movie star Adolph Monshu.
I'm always thinking, I'm dreaming of the hours we spent side by side.
How about a free guess? Anybody want to
bring it?
Wendy.
Huh? Liberace.
It's a good thing it was a free guess. John Henry?
I thought it was Liberace's aunt.
Well, we better get down to cases here now, and I'm going to charge you for these now, panel. This man, I'll tell you this, is a famous American entertainer who, to my knowledge, never did any professional singing, at least not after that record was made. We'll start the questioning with Jimmy Cannon. All right, Jimmy, tell us, Says Who.
Is he living?
He is.
Is he a dramatic actor?
He is a dramatic actor, indeed.
Is he in the movies?
He is.
Do you know if he's got a picture playing around now?
Now, when you say playing around now, do you mean at the first-run theaters?
I don't mean anything of the kind.
All right, I'll give you a yes answer.
Is he a star?
Is he what?
A star.
Oh, yes.
Was he ever a stilt walker in vaudeville?
If he was, I'll pay this one myself. Wendy?
You say he's not working in movies right now?
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
Oh, thank
you. No, Jimmy asked me if he was in a movie that's a current hit, and I asked him if he meant in first-run theaters.
Oh, no.
He refused to tie himself down.
Can we see him on the late show and the early show and the in-the-middle-of-the-day show?
You very probably did, not long ago.
Was I in a movie with him?
I didn't see the picture.
Would it be Edward G. Robinson?
No. John Henry, how about you?
He's a leading man.
Naturally.
I wouldn't classify him as that, but I don't want to give you a no answer. He's a star. He doesn't play leading.
He has star status.
He certainly does.
He was not forced into retirement by that song.
No, as a matter of fact, I want to give a second clue. Now, you'll hear this mystery personality right now. You'll hear him again, and you'll hear what he had to say about the recording we just heard. May we have that voice, please?
This is the first gramophone record I have made. It is a beautiful song that is identified with the film Two White Arms.
Gramophone record?
Anybody?
He's a foreigner.
Is this in the early days of recording?
It sounded to me as if it very probably was, this particular recording, but don't let that fool you about this particular player. He's still around.
Has he ever done a Broadway show? Did he start on Broadway?
Not to my knowledge. I could be wrong. He was in vaudeville and played New York at that time. John Henry?
He's not an American by birth.
Yes, he is. He wears a mustache. Anybody?
He's under 1,000 years old. That leave Conrad Nagel out now. Let's see.
Adolf Monju.
Right.
No, I'm kidding.
You know, as a matter of fact, you pulled that one out of a hat, Jimmy.
No, I didn't. I pulled it out of a mustache.
That explains it. I was going to ask you how you got it.
Mustache
did it. I was afraid to say that he was one of the world's best-dressed men. I thought that would really be a giveaway. As a matter of fact, Monju has a fine sense of humor, as we all know, and he likes to tell a story about himself. He was at a wedding, a wedding, it was the christening of the first child. The wedding had been some time before. And the godfather...
Chronological.
Yes, doesn't this go along in great shape? The godfather didn't know how to hold the child, and he was a bachelor, and he turned to him. He says, Adolf, he says, I'm a bachelor. I have no children. He says, suppose they give me that baby to hold. Monju said, just grab him the same way you do a cocktail shaker. Well, we had three no answers at $5 each. That's a total of $15. And the question was sent in by Mrs. Jeffrey Harris of Boston, Massachusetts. Congratulations to her. Now, we'd like very much to invite you at home to play Says Who with us, and Hal Sims has the simple rules.
Yes, John, and simple they are. Write your name, address, and your suggested mystery voice on a postcard and mail to Says Who, CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, New York. In case of duplication, the card bearing the earliest postmark will be chosen. And if your suggested voice baffles our panel, in addition to the $5 paid for each no, you'll win a bonus of $25. John?
Now, at the opening of the show, you heard this distinguished gentleman.
You think you are hearing my voice, but unless you know how to use your gramophone properly...
Each week, a giant jackpot awaits the listener who, when called by Says Who, correctly identifies the mystery voice. Now, to qualify, simply print your name, address, and phone number on a postcard and mail it to Mystery Voice, CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, New York. A lucky listener will be chosen at random, and tonight's phone number was chosen before we went on the air. Who would that be, Hal?
Hugo Rooney of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we have Mr. Rooney on the phone, John.
Oh, fine. Hello? Well, congratulations, Mr. Rooney, on being our first listener to be called. Did you hear the mystery voice earlier? Oh, good. Well, now, are you all set to play? I'll give you one clue about this famous gentleman whose voice you're about to hear again. It's a little rhyme. It goes like this. His works still beloved far and wide, though 1950's the year he died.
You think you are hearing my voice, but unless you know how to use your gramophone properly, what you are hearing may be something grotesquely unlike any sound that has ever come from my lips.
All right, Mr. Rooney. Now, remember, I can only accept one name. For a 21-inch color television set, who do you say our mystery man is? No, I'm sorry. Thomas A. Edison is not the correct answer. But Mr. Rooney, we do have a consolation prize for you. Hal, will you tell Mr. Rooney what he'll receive?
Right. Mr. Rooney, we're sending you a Timex self-wind watch. You can be sure if it's Timex. Next week, another listener will be called to identify this same mystery voice, and a second clue will be given. In addition to the 21-inch color television set, we're adding a Webcore tape recorder. So send in your cards tonight to Mystery Voice, CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, New York. And once again, here is John Cameron Swayze.
All right, you diction detectives. You should have a lot of fun with this next mystery personality. It's suggested by Lucille Rogers of Austin, Texas. John Henry, you ought to get this one. May we hear the record now?
The next mystery voice is the beloved Banjo Eyes, Eddie Cantor.
Little curly hair in a high chair. What's your order for today? Little curly hair in a high chair. I'll do anything you say.
It sounds something like my third grade school teacher.
I don't think so.
Shirley Temple, for the figures.
No. When did you have an idea?
A relative of his from Austin?
No. Let me give you this hint. The voice you heard is definitely an authentic one, but the speed of that record was changed a little bit to protect the innocent. It's the voice of a very well-known movie entertainer, and here's a tip. It is not Andy Devine. Now, with that clue, John Henry Falk, we want to know, says who.
Is she primarily a singer?
She is not.
Is it a male?
It is.
By George, Liberace again.
No, not Liberace.
Living?
Definitely.
Principally in the movies?
In later years, but known for various types of entertainment and starred first on the stage.
Came fame in Broadway.
That's right. Very famous, too. I'll tell you what.
Currently playing in a play?
No. Let's hear that record again. May we, at normal speed this time?
Little curly hair in a high chair.
Frank Sinatra.
Oh, no.
Little curly hair in a high chair. I'll do anything.
John Henry, you look like you had an
inspiration. This person's in the movies, too. He's done movies.
Yes.
And Jimmy wasn't too far off then when he got into Shirley Temple bit. Did do one with Shirley Temple? Did
Not
a movie
that I
with
know
Shirley
of.
Temple?
I'll be very much surprised.
You give me a definite no on that?
I'll give you a definite no.
Was this person a hoofer, too?
No. Not known for that. Might be able to dance a little bit. Here's a quote. See if this has a clue. Working with Hollywood glamour girls is just like working in a candy store. After the first day, you hardly notice the stuff, but oh boy, that first day.
Humphrey Bogart.
No. I think we're going to have to pay a bonus on this one, panel. You're going to be very much surprised at this. That was Eddie Cantor.
Oh, Eddie Cantor?
Play that Eddie at normal Cantor. Speed.
And he made that remark about Hollywood?
He made that remark.
After being in the Ziegfeld shows?
Yeah.
Well, I can only quote Mr. Cantor on this one.
What were those kids in those Ziegfeld shows? Canned peaches?
I'm too young to know, Jimmy. Too young to know.
I'm not.
Anyhow, there were seven no answers.
I'm not very happy about the matter.
We'll give you another chance here in a moment. There were seven no answers, though, at $5 each, and that's 35, and then there's that $25 bonus, you know, when somebody comes through with one you can't answer. And so the $60 total goes to Lucille Rogers of Austin, Texas. We're going to have a little switch now, panel. We've been listening to these voices going back many years. But I rather imagine that each one of you has a particular voice somewhere in the back of your memory. Let's call it the most persuasive voice that you can ever recall. It might be a relative. I can imagine that in Jimmy's case, it might be a sports promoter. I don't know. But
not me.
Not you. At any rate, will you think for just a second about the most persuasive voice that you ever heard? And while the two gentlemen are thinking it over, Wendy, have you hit on one?
Well, I thought you'd left me out momentarily.
Oh, no.
The most persuasive, you mean continuously persuasive or just for one incident?
Whichever you'd like to tell us about.
Well, I have one incident of my ex-husband who called me up and said that the man he'd introduced me to the night before would make the most wonderful husband so he wouldn't have to pay any more alimony.
Well, that's a very good illustration, and I can see how you would remember that. By the way, what did you tell him?
Tell who?
The man who called.
My husband?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't marry the other one because he wasn't as persuasive as my husband.
Oh. Now, how about you, Jimmy? Do you have a persuasive voice?
No contest.
What is it? Who is it?
Income tax collector.
Well, you've got company, too, on that one, I think. And John Henry?
I'd say as an old congressman from down home, he served about 40 years, and each year he ran his campaign on one very persuasive note and a voice that sounded kind of like a cow in misery. Folks, I'm for the law of gravity, and I'm against sin, and if you put me back in there, I'll pass a law to put it out of business.
There's no index of character so sure as the voice. So now, with that in mind, let's all listen to a portion of a tape recording. But first, Hal Sims, tell the radio audience, please, who it is.
The mystery voice is the beautiful and exciting Gypsy Rose Lee.
Goodness, Miss Tina, I have a few little notes. I thought it made me look more legitimate. Although I have to confess immediately that I find it difficult reading them without glasses. I'm too vain to buy glasses. So I'd rather just sort of squint through with his 40-year-old eyes and a 20-year-old body.
Did you get that, panel?
Wendy Barry.
I will only go for 50% of that, the 20-year-old body. Wendy?
What'd you say?
Did you hear before? The quote was, a 40-year-old with a 20-year-old body, see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a woman?
That was a woman.
Is she living?
She is.
Is she, am I as old as she is?
No,
don't
God
take so long
mind
to make
would
up your
get
mind
into this field.
Am I? Is she my age?
About.
About. Well,
I can't give
is
you
she
no
an Englishman? I mean,
no.
A Britisher?
No.
American?
She's not.
Oh.
John Henry?
She is an American.
She is.
Is she in politics? Connected with any way in politics?
No.
Incidentally, was she born in Alabama and made her first original big hit in London?
No.
Is she in a theater?
Is she what?
Entertainment field?
Yes, not too active at the moment, but she certainly is.
Did she ever get to buy those glasses? You've forgotten what she said, huh, on the record? Play it again for John.
Well, did she sing? Did she sing, too?
Not known for her singing, no. Play it again, once more. Let's hear it.
Oh, goodness, Miss Tina, I have a few little notes. I thought it made me look more legitimate. Although I have to confess immediately that I find it difficult reading them without glasses. I'm too vain to buy glasses. So I'd rather just sort of squint through with his 40-year-old eyes and a 20-year-old body.
John Henry?
You dead sure it's a woman?
Yes.
Yes, I certainly am.
But she's kind of masculine looking, am I right?
A masculine look? Let me give you a quote.
She's not very masculine. She just played left tackle for the Green Bay Packers.
I'll give you a quote. All they wanted of me were headshots. That certainly seems strange. Nobody's ever paid attention to my face.
Helen Hayes.
Tallulah?
No. No, no. John
Marlene
Henry.
Dietrich?
No, my goodness, that's
oh,
a great score.
Was she always a woman? Wait a minute. Is she, she's not that creature that turned from man to woman, is she?
Oh, no.
I forgot.
Let's switch off that subject real quick.
We'll have to call a halt and award the $25 bonus. You're going
to
be surprised.
You'll have to split it two ways if you go along with Wendy.
You're going to be a little surprised here. Gypsy Rose Lee.
Oh. Oh, what you said. I was sitting in that back room and I heard every word you said.
I didn't say a word,
oh,
ma'am.
Gypsy. Ma'am. Yes, you did, honey. You can't disguise that voice of yours, you know.
I don't think of you as a headshot.
Go ahead, ask me questions. You smart trio.
Tell us first, what was the occasion of that recording?
Oh, that was at the book and author luncheon. Of my literary side, you know, as opposed to my more familiar side.
Oh, as a matter of fact, you have out a new book.
Gypsy.
Gypsy.
That was publication day, about 3 weeks ago.
How's it going?
Very well. We're into our third printing.
I've read part of it. I see you were marooned in Kansas City at one time.
That's right. You read Harper's Magazine.
I did.
Oh, you didn't read the book, in other words.
Oh, but I'm working up to it.
$3.95, darling. 127,000 words, 40 pages of pictures. You can't go wrong.
And awfully good,
it.
By the way. I read
worth it.
Let's get back to what they said about me. I was listening in the back room, and I heard everything they said, you know.
Oh, I thought that it was,
Is it a man?
Very nice.
There's never been a doubt before. I must confess, though, I had a cold that day in my head where I least expected it.
Well, Gypsy, you shouldn't go around without your hat.
It's usually the last thing I take off, you know, dear.
I tell you what throwed me. Is that I've always been looking and never listening before to this.
I don't know whether I should be flattered or otherwise.
Oh, by all means be flattered. But just tell me, who would you like to have play you when your book is made into a movie, play you in the artistic phase of your career?
Oh, we're going to do a musical comedy of it first.
Oh, really?
And I'm more concerned, really, with who's going to play Mother. I don't care who plays me as long as it's Marilyn Monroe.
Well, Gypsy Rose Lee, thank you ever so much for being here tonight.
I just loved it. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, with the keen hearing I know you all have, there shouldn't be any difficulty at all in tracking down this next voice panel. And in this round, you listeners at home, see if you can beat our regular experts in identifying this familiar voice.
Who is to rightly answer the question, at what age is it wise to marry? Yourself, of course. Age is a gay deceiver. Some look old who are young in heart. Others look young who are old in spirit. All things being equal, 23 to 26 is a good age for a man to marry. 20 to 23 for a woman.
It sounds like Dorothy Dix with laryngitis.
That's an excellent description, Mr. Cannon, but it isn't the right person. Would it help to play this over? Or John Henry?
Was this person ever an undertaker?
Not as far as I know. Would it help to play that over? Does that...
No, I had enough of that.
All right, very good. Harold Sims, will you tell everyone at home who it is?
Marriage counselor, John J. Anthony.
Is this a clergyman?
Clergyman? No. Wendy?
Well, John, I don't understand. He says who's got the right to tell people when they should marry, and then he tells you 5 minutes later, 23 to 26 is the right age.
This was an American radio artist.
That's right.
In the early 30s.
That's quite right.
And he'd get that organ behind him and go to town like he was just then doing.
Yes, he certainly would.
All
we need is
Jimmy,
his name.
You're bound to know who this was.
I was a movie critic, a radio critic, which is I deny usually, in about that time, and that was Tony Wands.
No, it wasn't Tony Wands, but, you know, I think I would have guessed Wands myself. As a matter of fact, this man, an early marriage of this man's, blew up, and that's what started him on this marriage kick. And it led to a very profitable career. Does that suggest anything, does it, to you, Wendy?
I hope he isn't listening in right now.
Oh, is he still alive?
Yes, he was once a cab driver in the Bronx, too,
well,
John Henry.
Back.
Is he in entertainment still?
I haven't heard of this gentleman for quite some time, but I did read that he was planning to return with a program on television similar to his old radio one, Jimmy.
Must be Norman Brokenshire.
No, not Norman. John Henry, you seem to have...
His marriage broke up? A blew-up, you say?
That was an early
didn't
one.
Didn't have to do with dynamite.
No, not a thing. And that really didn't have anything to do with what we heard, but that was the springboard for this career of his. You
know? I know who it is. If it ain't, don't give me a no.
Can't
Ted
any money
Malone.
Oh, no, no, not Ted Malone. No, no.
Right,
see if I can hunt out any little clue here that might... I'm going to give you a real clue.
He was on... Excuse me. He was on a hookup.
Oh, yes, he was
all
on the
network. All these people will be on a hookup.
Oh, he got rid of her, though.
Early in life. Wendy, who's that you have in mind?
Well, is he a religious person like Billy Graham today? I mean, because...
Not at all.
Oh.
I say not at all. I don't mean to put any emphasis but he's not an evangelist or a clergyman. Well, it looks like we've reached the end here. You're going to be surprised at this one because I really think you all will remember John J. Anthony. His goodwill hour, and your problem, please, madam. No names, please.
I've spent my life trying to forget John.
You've succeeded. We come now to the final portion, it says, who, panelists, and these are what we call quickies. We're going to play a series of famous voices or sounds, one at a time, and you experts, as a team, not individually, just as a team and without being called on or anything, come right in. You have 30 seconds to identify each one. All right, let's hear the first one, and I'll tell you that this was an event. This represents an event.
Saturday night party at my house.
Well, that's a good start. Anyone else have any? Go right ahead.
King Farouk's cufflinks dropped to the floor?
No, that isn't it. But they were very valuable, and there was a lot of money involved in this. Let's see, can I give you one? If this was called a black day, does that suggest anything?
Black Tom explosion.
No.
Market crash in 29.
Right, and even wait for it. Wonderful. Here comes a good one. This concerns an event that got some people into hot water. That concerns an event.
Shocking.
I'm sorry, that was part of it. What happened?
Johnstown flood.
No, I see how you got that idea. This happened not that far back in history. This happened, as a matter of fact, 31 years ago. Does that give you a clue?
Was it a rainstorm? Was it a manifestation of nature?
No, nothing of that kind.
Don't look at me. I wasn't here 31 years ago.
Where were you? Out of town?
I know. I was on the other side of the ocean. I didn't arrive here.
Did this concern a famous person?
Yes, it did, and it shook the foundation.
Was this
of the
Earl
government.
Carroll, the bubble bath of Earl Carroll's?
Oh, no, it was quite different than that.
It didn't have to do with Amy Semple McPherson.
No, it did not.
This is a national event, obviously. It shook up the nation, I guess.
It certainly was, and it shook the administration.
The Teapot Dome scandal.
That's right. All right. Even though it was a small event, all eyes were focused on it, and that's quite a clue.
Dionne Quintuplets.
No.
Keep
going, though.
The Princess of Monaco.
Right. Right on.
That was the roulette.
Why the dice before the baby?
Well, what do you think they do in Monaco?
The casino of Monte Carlo was there before the princess. That's the reason we had the
dice.
Oh,
yes, sure.
Well, that winds up this week's Quickies panel. And as a matter of fact, that's all the time we have, I'm sorry to say. But, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed playing Says Who, our new game of voices and sounds, and inviting you to join us again next week at the same time are our three regulars.
Jimmy Cannon and good night.
Wendy Barry and be a good bunny.
John Falk and good night.
And your host, John Cameron Swayze, who reminds you that a good listener is not only popular everywhere, but after a while, he learns something. Good night.
Says Who was created by Sidney Resnick, directed by Dick Stenta, and is a Frank Cooper Associates production. This is the CBS Radio Network.